Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. And in this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Outback Goldfields, traded on the CSE under the symbol OZ. I am chatting with the president and CEO, Chris Donaldson. Now, just to bring everybody up to speed, Outback Goldfields is focused in Victoria, Australia, more or less around that Fosterville gold mine. In that area, four different projects, and I'm bringing Chris on to give us an update on the work that's underway at the projects and also some of the exploration that's planned for the rest of this year. As I know, the company is expecting to receive some assay results in the near term. Really just wanted to bring everybody up to date on what the work that has been ongoing is, or how that's going, and also what's on tap. Chris, let's start off with the Glenfine project. I understand that there is one drill on site. We've provided an update at the beginning of March regarding this project, but give us an update, please, on how that drilling's progressing and hopefully when we could see some drill results here.
Yeah, hey, Corey, thanks for having me on again. Yeah, of course. So we're have launched our what we're calling our phase one drill program. Phase one started in February and we'll go to about July, and we're calling it phase one because we have access right now to two out of our four properties. And the first bit of drilling that we did, and this diamond drilling, was on our Glenfine project. The Glenfine project is a 20 kilometer trend of highly prospective and yet underexplored geology, but there is a historic mine on it called the Glenfine South Mine, and that had produced over 40,000 ounces at about 16 gram per ton, and that was in about the 1850s. And recently there had been some drilling a few hundred meters out that hit some good mineralization, and the focus for us to begin with was to drill in between those recent findings and the old Glenfine South Mine and to see if there's some continuity in between the two. So we have planned about 2,000 meters of drilling in that area, and those will be the first bit of assays that we hope to get back here in the next couple of weeks. So we should have some news pending. So you're kind of right. We have one diamond drill there, but we also have a second RC drill that just got mobilized a couple of weeks ago. That's at Glenfine South. And both of those drills in the next week or so will move up to our second target on the Glenfine property, which is British Banner. And British Banner has had some pretty good results over the last few years with our predecessors who own the company, a little over a meter at 23 gram per ton, four meters at about 10 grams per ton. So happy to get onto that, or we will be fairly excited to get onto that and do a little bit of drilling along the contact there, the basal contact, and also some step out drilling. So in total, we're planning 4,000 meters on the Glenfine project, and that'll be all encompassed in the phase one. So we should get an idea of what we've got on Glenfine by the summer.
Okay, so figure one on the recent news release that came out more at the beginning of this month on May 3rd shows this, I guess, gap zone that you said the focus is of drilling in this phase one drill program. Just break down this figure a little bit for our audience in terms of overall strike that you see that could be possible here, and really what the strategy is when it comes to tying together the old mine and some of that historic work. Has there been any past drilling in this area, or are you guys the first ones to poke holes down here?
No, there has been some drilling on it, not in the area in between the two, Glenfine South Mine and what we call Reef 2. So a couple of smaller deposits there. We're hoping to get some continuity and string some together. Part of the reason we started with that project, it's the only one that is subject to an earn-in. All the other ones we own 100%. So we needed to put some money on that, so we'll earn in over 50%. We'll have 51% here if we've probably already hit the $1 million spend that's required. So that was the reason we started there. And also, we had the permits. We're hoping to get enough results that we can put a little resource around it. I don't think we'll quite have enough for this set of drilling, but we certainly should get an understanding of what we have there and whether it warrants further drilling for our phase two.
Okay, so near-term news flow coming out of Glenn Fine and drill results. Who knows when they get back from the assay labs, but we'll follow up on those. Let's also talk about the Yungrun project. This one, I believe you also are still more or less generating some of the targets here, but what's the work that is ongoing here and what's planned?
Yeah, so I mean the story in the gold fields is, you know, there's a lot of historic mines there that, and they, you know, it had produced 80 million ounces of gold to date. 60 of that 80 came from 1850 to 1920, and so there's all these old mine workings where they were, you know, mining alluvial gold at or near surface, and then they would stop because they would hit cover, and the cover is a basalt cover, or they would hit a water table. So Yungrun kind of has two parts to it. One is an area that's a focus for us. It's about a 30-kilometer trend that's off of the Avoca Fault. And we've done some geophysics on our already. We did a LIDAR survey to get a better understanding of the historical workings that have been done there. And we have just secured a RAB drill, and plan to do about 400 holes in and around the Golden Jacket mine. So this is an old historic mine that had produced, only 1,400 ounces, but at 250 gram per ton. And so there's not a lot of exploration around. We're really, you know, the focus for now is for target generation, which we'll follow up on later this summer, in and around that Golden Jacket mine for the diamond drill. So that's on one half of the project. On the other half is a Wedderburn area. We actually have identified already six high tenor arsenic anomalies, which is a marker for gold in the area. We're working on land access on that, and hopefully in the next couple of months we'll be able to get on that and start doing some diamond drilling.
Okay, so when it comes to that RAB drill, then is it just going to be kind of a grid that you guys are drilling, or have you isolated some general areas that have a bit more interest?
Well, no, exactly. It's going to be a grid that we're going to be doing in and around the Golden Jacket mine. So we've got the basic area that we want, that we've identified, and then we're going to be looking for high arsenic content in areas just to identify some priority holes for us.
Okay. Move on to another couple projects. You and I really haven't outlined the other two projects in the company's portfolio, so this is our chance to bring people up to speed on those. Let's start with Ballarat West. What info can you give us here?
Yeah, so I'm kind of slow playing this one because we didn't have the exploration license on it. We still don't, but we're in the final stages here, and I'm hoping to get it this month. And this is indicative of the area. So, Ballarat West is 45,000 hectares, and adjacent to the Ballarat mine, another couple of mines within 3 or 4 kilometers of it as well. And between those mines, they produced over 17 million ounces of gold. And this, again, is right off of the Avoca Fault. And there's a number of north-south structures there that we think are parallel. And if you look at a map on it, you know, there's all these historic workings that just, where they've mined gold, and then it just kind of stops right on the edge of our property. And it's not that there was some imaginary line there in the past. It's just as they hit cover. And we believe that those structures are undercover. And Craig Perry, who's our chairman and geologist, this is the one that got him the most excited early on. He thinks this represents the best chance for us to hit a multi-million ounce deposit. There's one just a few kilometers away, and it's astounding that, you know, something of this size and its location is so unexplored and certainly underexplored.
What are your thoughts on permits, too? When do you anticipate to get that access?
Yeah, so the area is undergoing a massive staking rush, and they're overwhelmed a little bit with all the applications and so on. But this one has moved its way through, and we're hoping to get the exploration license on it later this month. So how it's shaping up is we'll finish our phase one around June or July, and see what we have at Glenfine. We'll have some targets identified at at our Yungrun project. We should have a Ballarat West license in place by that point, and then we'll figure out what we'll do what for phase two, which will take us to the back half of the year. We've committed about $3 million for phase one. We'll probably commit about $3 million for phase two. So of the $11 million we raised in December, six of that should go into the ground this year.
Okay, so a lot of work still on tap. Final project to touch on, the Silver Spoon project. The location of this one you've outlined to me off mic as being very important. Break that down for us.
Yeah, I mean, if you like the closeology play, this is about as good as it gets. I mean, we touch Kirkland Lake's tenements and where they have the Fosterville mine on one side. Newmont liked the area and picked up some tenements and some property. On the other side of us, we touched their properties as well. There's an area that we also border that is under auction right now by the Victoria government. It's had really good response. The rumors are it's going to be about a $50 million earn-in that's required on that. So it's likely a mid-tier or major. So, I mean, we're definitely, you couldn't have a better postal code for where we're at. We've applied for exploration license on that. It looks like it's still a couple of months or a few months out, but we should have it by the end of the year. But what's exciting about that area is what just recently, historically, it's because of Fosterville and their discovery that they made in the Swan Zone when they're mining 50 gram per ton right now. But the knock on the area has been, is there another Fosterville in the area? And, certainly that's what we're going for. It's elephant hunting. It looks like Mandalay Resources has just hit something very, very promising, which is just south of us and certainly in the area. They hit about a meter at 450 grams as well. So there's a lot of excitement that they may have found another Fosterville-style deposit on that, and that should raise all of our boats here. I mean, if there's multiple Fostervilles in the area, certainly we hope we're the next ones to find one, but happy to see that it can be replicated.
All right. Well, Chris, in full disclosure, I am a shareholder of Outback Goldfield. So, hey, man, I'm hoping for you. I hope you do find another Fosterville. But first things first, we'll get some drill results back on Glenfine, some more news out of Yungrun, and then Ballarat West and Silver Spoon as that maybe moves forward this year. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Chris regarding anything at Outback Goldfields, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. Chris, thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Corey.